Hi everyone, I'm a PhD student from National University of Singapore. My name is Yingjun Wu, and today I will introduce our work, Scalable In-Memory Transaction Processing with Hardware Transactional Memory. Log-free programming can be extremely difficult, provided with several atomic building functions, such as compare and swap, test and set, or fetch and add. We may build super efficient concurrent systems that can scale to dozens of cores. However, building highly concurrent systems is error-prone. We can hardly guarantee the correctness of our system, even if we have run this program for thousands of times. Intel and some other companies recently offered us a new way for designing concurrent systems. Hardware transaction memory, a hardware-level technique, enables us to execute the critical sections of our program in an atomic and isolated manner. By manipulating some very simple instructions, such as sbegin and xend, all program efforts for implementing concurrent programs is largely reduced. Witnessing the advantage of hardware transaction memory, researchers have started investigating how to leverage the hardware mechanism for building efficient main memory database systems. Unfortunately, HDM is not a silver bullet for transaction processing. And in some cases, the use of hardware transaction memory can even degrade the system performance. Now let's take a look at a very simple workload, where each transaction randomly updates 10 records of a table, and the access contention is controlled by a parameter theta, which indicates the skewness following the Zipf-Fan distribution. As the result shows, when processing low contention workload, HDM yields 2 times higher transaction rate compared to the conventional fine-grained locking mechanism. However, the performance of the HDM collapses under high contention scenario, and this effect is called the Lemming effect in the recent literatures. Witnessing the inefficiency of the HDM under certain workload, we should carefully leverage HDM to achieve optimal performance. Now, let's take a look at how existing works apply the HDM to OCC protocol for facilitating the in-memory transaction processing. The conventional OCC splits the execution of a transaction into 3 phases, the read, the validation, and the write. The read phase is executed in a consistency oblivious manner, which means that during this read phase, the transaction will not acquire any logs that is associated with access to records. However, the validation and write phase must be executed in an atomic manner. Conventional OCC applies fine-grained locking to guarantee the atomic execution of these 2 phases. And during these 2 phases, no other concurrent transactions can modify the record that is accessed by the current transaction. We refer to the time period during the transaction's read phase as a vulnerable window, as this is the only time period where the inconsistent access can occur. To optimize the performance of conventional OCC, existing works directly replace the fine-grained locking with HDM to protect the atomic execution of the validation and the write phase. When processing low contention workload, this mechanism can improve the performance when processing a low contention workload. But when the contention is increased, the performance may not be that good. This is because during the validation and the write phase, some other transactions can still modify the records accessed by the current transaction, as HDM assisted mechanism executes the two phase, the validation and the write phases, in a speculative manner. In other words, we say that the existing HDM-assisted OCC essentially enlarges the vulnerable window when processing the transactions. To sum up, the existing HDM-assisted protocols produces higher database transaction abort rate, and the protocol will consequently suffer from a higher database transaction restart overhead. Well, in this work, we propose HDCC, a new HDM-assisted concurrence control protocol that achieves scalable and robust transaction processing even under highly contented workload. our mechanism explores the strengths of the HDM using a two-pronged strategy. First, it reduces the transaction abort rate using a hybrid protocol. And second, it minimizes the transaction restart rate, restart overhead using a technique called delta restoration. We discuss in detail how these mechanisms enable the scaling of in-memory transaction processing to 40 cores. As we have shown in the previous slides, the fine-grained locking is more suitable for processing high-contention workload. But the HTM can achieve much better performance when processing low-contention workloads. To fully explore the efficiency of fine-grained locking and the HDM region, we split the data into two parts, the hot data and the cold data. As we shall see later, the access to the hot data are fully protected by the fine-grained locking. However, all the accesses to cold data are instead protected by the HDM region. To achieve the data classification, the data classification is enabled by maintaining multiple metadata fields for each record. In addition to the lock, the timestamp, and the visibility flags, we further maintain two additional attributes. One is the hot flag, which indicates whether the data is highly contented. And the other is a count attribute, which counts the number of validation failures that is triggered by the conflicting access to the record during a certain time slot. Let's consider a database containing five tuples. Record 4 is set to hot, and the other are set to cold. A background thread is blown to periodically, so let's say every 60 seconds, to check the count field of each record. The top K records that frequently triggers the inconsistency will be tagged as a hot records. Note that the hot flag should be set transactionally so that every in-flight transaction will always see a consistent hot flag of each record from the transaction start to its commit to its final commitment. That is, the background thread can change the record hot flag only if no other concurrent transaction is accessing this record. Provided with the data classification, we can then use a hybrid mechanism for processing transactions. During the execution of a transaction, HTCC will always leverage the fine-grained locking to protect the access to hot records. Cold records, instead, are fully protected by using the HDM region. This essentially explores the best of both the software world and the hardware world. To better illustrate our idea, we consider a transaction that accesses three records, RA, RB, and RC. RC is a hot data that is frequently accessed by the transaction, where the other two records are less frequently accessed. During the read phase, the access to RC directly acquires the log corresponding to RC, where the accesses to RA and RB remain unprotected. On entering the validation and write phases, the HTM region is invoked to protect the atomic access to both RA and RB. The lock on RC will be released only if the transaction has exited the HTM region. We can see that the HTM region is essentially wrapped in the software transaction. A transaction can finally commit it only if it has already exited both the HDM region and all the logs that is acquired for the hot data are released. While the hybrid concurrent control protocol can reduce the transaction abort rate caused by the validation failure, we still want to minimize the transaction restart overhead. When confronting the validation failure, yeah. Instead of restarting the transaction from scratch on confronting a validation failure, we can actually perform a delta restoration to restore all the operations without performing the expensive index lookup. To achieve this, we introduce a new mechanism called workset caching to cache all the pointers to the access records for each operation. Now let's consider a transaction program that accesses five operations. Operation L1 accesses a record of RA by traversing the index and buffers the pointer to RA in its associated workset cache. Similarly, the operation L2 will access exactly the same record, and the corresponding pointer will also be buffered in L2's workset cache. The workset cache is maintained for all the operations in the program, so that this mechanism will essentially help us to speed up the transaction re-execution, as we shall see in the next slide. On confronting the validation failure, a transaction can perform the delta restoration, which leverages the workset cache to facilitate restoration of each operation. This is because the index lookup can be bypassed, and hence the computation resource can be largely saved. This mechanism is essentially efficient for operations whose succession key is a constant. In this example, which contains 5 operations, the restoration of the operation L1 is pretty simple. The only thing we need to do is to read the record pointer from the corresponding workset cache and directly fetch the corresponding records from the index without traversing the index. However, for operations whose accessing key are dependent on the previous operation, the case can be more complicated. Now let's consider the restoration of operation 5, the L5. As L5's accessing key is dependent on the output of L4, which may be changed during the restoration, L5 has to traverse the index again to search for the target record for generating the serializable results. Note that the workset cache of L5 should also be refreshed to guarantee the consistency of the cache. On restoring all the operations in a transaction, we will need to jump back to the validation phase and validate all the code records using the HTM to protect the atomicity. Well, it is possible to use pure software-level technique for implementing the delta restoration. HTM essentially helps us to achieve this in a more efficient manner. This is because the accesses to all the code records are still performed optimistically using the HTM, even if the transaction is restarted. And deadlock will never happen because the HTM guarantees atomicity and isolation. To see whether the proposed HTM mechanism or the HDCC can yield satisfactory results, we compare the HDCC with several existing protocols, including a two-phase locking, the OCC, and Silo's OCC implementation, and existing HTM-assisted OCC and the existing HTM-assisted timestamp ordering mechanism. The first slide shows the potential bottleneck of the existing HTM-assisted protocol. In this case, we discussed the HOCC, which is an HTM-assisted OCC protocol when processing the TPCC benchmark. Well, in this vehicle, we can see that the HOCC achieves better performance when processing low contention workload. However, the performance of the HOCC collapses when the number of warehouse is set to 4. And in this case, conventional OCC can achieve at least 3 times better performance. An interesting finding is that the database transaction abort rate of the HOCC decreases with the increase of the number of threads. This is because the conventional HTM-assisted OCC protocol has to resort to the fallback routine to guarantee the forward progress. On the highly contended workload, most of the transactions therefore have to be executed in serial, and therefore fewer transactions get aborted. Well, this slide shows the performance of different protocols when running the TPCC benchmark. We can see that in both high contention and low contention workload, our protocol, the HDCC in the red line, has a higher transaction rate compared to any of the existing protocols. This is because under the high contention workload, HDCC essentially reduced the transaction abort rate using the hybrid protocol, And on the low contention workload, the speedy execution of the HDM region, as well as the effectiveness of the delta restoration, both contribute to the performance. So in this talk, we have proposed a new mechanism called HDCC, which is a HDM-assisted concurrence control protocol that achieves both scalable and robust in-memory transaction processing on modern multi-core architectures. And the HDCC, and we have two mechanisms for facilitating the performance of the HDCC. First, the hybrid synchronization mechanism can help us to reduce the transaction abort rate. And second, the work set caching can help us to minimize the transaction restart overhead using the delta restoration. And our experiments also have shown that our proposed mechanism, the HDCC, can achieve better performance in both low contention and high contention workload. Thanks for your listening.
All right, any questions from the audience? I have a couple of questions for you. So one of them is when you're using HTM as a primitive, you always run into the concern that there's a capacity limit on how much state the hardware can keep during the hardware transaction. Does that affect HTCC, or do you have a workaround for that that doesn't make that capacity a problem?
Yeah, I think so. Currently, the Intel's HDM restricts the capacity to L1 cache, the size of the L1 cache. And this is the main concern of our design. But well, I think well, using the pointer swap, well, in the database transaction during the write phase, we need to install the conventional mechanism using the data copy to install the data to the global copy of the database. But in our mechanism, we use a pointer swap, so that's where we do not need to copy the entire tuple. Because the tuple can be as large as probably hundreds of bytes, and that's quite memory consuming. So we need to restrict the cache we use.
So you still have a capacity problem, but it's measured in number of tuples, not size of the tuple. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And if I can ask one more question, you said on slide 19 that you get benefit.
Which one?
Just this one right here, forward one. You get different benefits. The different components of
this one.
No, go forward one here.
This one.
Yeah, that in the different modes you got different benefits. That the benefit from delta
restoration.
The delta restoring is. Do you have like a backup slide that kind of breaks out where the benefit comes from the different aspects of the design? Because they're sort of stuck together there.
Yeah, I think in our mechanism we use the hybrid protocol and caching, and in our paper we also introduce a static analysis mechanism, because using a static analysis we probably do not need to re-execute the entire transaction, and we can directly re-execute part of the transaction because some of the operations will not be affected by the inconsistent read. So this figure shows how the performance breakdown of the system. Well, you can see that using the without the dash S means that without the static analysis, and the dash SC means that without the static analysis and caching, and the OCC is OCC means that the standard hardware. HDM assisted OCC. And we can see that both the HDCC, both the static analysis and the caching helps us to improve the performance. And this figure also shows that the caching actually contributes the most.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. It was a good talk. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
Is there time for one more question?
Yes, please do.
Scott Fritchie with VMware.
Sorry.
Since we have a little extra time, could you maybe explain a little bit more how you make the measurement between to distinguish the hot data versus cold, how that temperature measurement is done?
Can you explain it explicitly? So what do you mean is that how we distinguish the hot data and the cold data, right?
Yes.
So
criteria.
We use the as we have said we set off. We set two attributes to tackle whether the data is frequently accessed. And I think one main strategy is that I think several works, including some works from the Microsoft Hackathon's paper and as well as some other research papers, both of them have already proposed several mechanisms for identifying the code data and hot data. And in our mechanism, we use two attributes for each record, and one is a hot flag and one is a counting flag. And I think the major concern is that how to increment the counting flag. And in our mechanism, we will periodically check the counting flag. And for each access to the tuple, we will increment the counting flag by one. No, I mean the counting variable by one. And periodically, we will check this counting flag and whether this counting flag is the top k hot data. And if this tuple is the top k most frequently accessed during this certain time slot, and then we will take it as a hot data.
Thank you.